Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esquire Coaching Radio, where we help attorneys achieve unparalleled personal and professional success. And now here's your host, Ann Jenrette Thomas.
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to the Esquire Coaching Radio Show. It's such a pleasure to be here with all of you today. As you know, Esquire Coaching is a national coaching and consulting company that is dedicated to lawyers to happily succeed in the business of law. To that end, we discuss the full range of topics from building business to getting a job to work-life balance, diversity, and everything in between. In honor of Black History Month and being able to honor, acknowledge the diversity efforts that we are working on within the legal system, we have a very special guest today who's going to talk to about an important organization known as the Institute for Inclusion in the Legal Profession. The Institute for Inclusion in the Legal Profession, or IILP, is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization that, through educational programs, research, and publications, addresses the lack of diversity and inclusion that continues to challenge the legal profession and undermine its credibility within the justice system. Today we have with us one of IILP's board of directors and actually someone who has been very intimately involved in the organization for at least the last 10 to 16 years, Floyd Holloway. Floyd Holloway is counsel in the corporate law department at State Farm Insurance. His responsibilities include monitoring and advocacy in legislative and regulatory matters in New York State. Floyd manages the corporate law department's legislative services unit, which, among other things, provides support to the enterprise, including the network of state counsel responsible for legislative and regulatory affairs. Floyd is a past chairman of the New York Insurance Association. He also sits on the executive board for the Lawsuit Reform Alliance of New York. Floyd is an active member of the American Bar Association, serving as vice chair on the Corporate Counsel, Government and Law, Law and Public Service, and Technology Committees. And, of course, this is all in addition to his extensive service on the Board of Directors for IILP. Floyd is a native of Brooklyn, New York, where I lived for a few years, and he received his BA degree in Political Theory and American Government from Georgetown University College of Arts and Sciences in Washington, D.C., and his law degree from Georgetown University Law Center. Welcome, Floyd.
Thank you very much, Anne. It's a pleasure to be with you today, and we appreciate the opportunity to spotlight IILP and to talk a little about the work that we do.
Oh, it is truly my honor to have you here. I have to say, one of the reasons why I wanted to showcase IILP is just because of the tremendous work that all of you do in being able to really make a dent in terms of the lack of diversity and inclusion within the legal profession. And as you know, it's something we fully, fully support. So before we begin, Floyd, I just want to remind our callers that there will be time at the end of our show to ask Floyd any questions directly about IILP. You'll have to call 347-838-8719 and press 1 to get in the line. That's 347-838-8719 and press 1 to get in the line. And I'll repeat that number later. All right, Floyd, let's dive right in. Tell us, what is the IILP, and why do we need an organization like it?
So, Anne, as I talk about the work that we do and what our organization is, I'll begin by just simply saying that State Farm is a strong supporter of the efforts undertaken by the IILP. However, today I'll share my perspective from the inside on what that work looks like, and so the opinions or thoughts that I'll share are my own. So, Anne, the IILP was conceived by our president and CEO, Sandra Amante, as sort of an outflow of some of the work that Sandra, some of the great work that Sandra has done over the years, and I'll say over the past decade and a half, and I've been at her side for most of that time, in this arena. And this discussion goes way back, probably almost 2.5 decades ago, with a number of folks, including recent honoree Robert Gray at the ABA Spirit of Excellence Award luncheon, and others who really spearheaded a campaign to understand and examine the work that lawyers do and the inclusiveness, if you will, around that work. And Sandra was really one of the pioneers, and I would argue that she was the linchpin of our successes around a dialogue about how lawyers cooperate, collaborate, and really work together to create a profession that truly is committed to fairness, for the promotion of fairness and justice for all people. And she has really launched this next level or next step effort to close the gap on outreach and education around the data and what it takes to really deal with pipeline issues and to feed others the kind of information that's needed to raise the decibel on that dialogue. So we do that with the recognition that the legal profession plays a critical role in society, and that the members in this profession serve as advocates, judges, government and public officials, civic and community leaders, and that in order to do that well, we need to be diverse and representative of the society that's served. It also assumes that the legal profession is one of the least diverse professions in the U.S. compared to other industries, just based on statistics that have been documented now for probably the better part of 2 or 2.5 decades, and that the growth in this profession really hasn't been fast enough or far enough, especially when one considers that lawyers are supposed to be problem solvers. So the demographic data shows that the legal profession, in terms of diversity efforts, has hit a plateau and probably is starting to lose ground in this area, and that's cause for concern. And the growing sense of cynicism about whether or not this problem can be resolved is one that I think Sandra and the team of directors, and that includes corporations, private lawyers, private law firms, government lawyers, judges, and a host of others, educators, who really join this dialogue to not only understand the problem a little more acutely, but really to share their perspectives with a broader audience so that we can demonstrate through data, outreach, education, and the like, that this is a collective problem that can be solved collaboratively and for which there's much support. And so the IILP really is about seeking real change now. And so we distinguish ourselves from other organizations in this respect. I'll refer you also to the IILP website, which can be found at theIILP.com, which really depicts a graph showing that there are a number of organizations who are doing great work in this arena first and foremost, but there are gaps in that process. And we have found that the gaps come in the area where the data hasn't really been pushed to the limits. And so we believe that IILP has assumed a position of complementing some of these other groups by filling those gaps and building bridges. And so we prefer not to look at this as sort of a negative problem, but really an opportunity to build bridges where none have been built, and to really branch out, reach out into high schools, colleges, law schools, and communities to help folks understand what lawyers do, what lawyers can do, and how we build bridges back into the profession that are representative of the societies that we, or the communities rather, that we all come from. So what makes IILP different? So IILP addresses diversity in all facets, including gender, race, ethnicity, disabilities, LGBT, religion, generation, and geographic, and so the list goes on. It doesn't restrict itself to focusing only on specific types of diversity or particular practice setting or defined geographic area. Rather, it includes everyone. So not those, not just those, rather, who are considered diverse, but lawyers, judges, their staff, law students, and other individuals who work in the profession. It doesn't, as I mentioned, duplicate the efforts or the work that's being undertaken by others. It simply fills the gaps by expanding, if you will, the choir.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I have to say, I've had the honor and privilege of meeting Sandra Yamate, and she is really a force to reckon with. And I see the efforts of her vision and her diligence in all that she and the rest of the board and all the people who volunteer and work on making IILP such a success. So if I could just follow up on one piece of information that you mentioned, which is that you mentioned that lawyers or the legal profession is one of the least diverse professions. Do you happen to know any statistics or information on that that we could just share with the audience?
So if you take a look at, for those who want to branch out to the website, if you take a look at the projects and programs under some of the initiatives that the IILP has undertaken, you'll see that there are at least 12 or so interesting measures that represent the work and the research done by our organization that highlights some of the challenges. So that data can be found there, and I'll give you some examples of the reports that are out there. So the Business Case for Diversity Research Project is one document that you can refer to that provides some interesting and good information about the state, if you will, of diversity. And then we have a report out there also, which follows in the same footsteps, the State of Diversity and Inclusion in the Legal Profession. And that probably is the most comprehensive and detailed report on this issue and really what has served as the linchpin for the discussions that have taken place and continue to take place in many states and communities around this issue. We have the pledge to the to the profession, which reflects at least our commitment to getting others out there who recognize the problem to devote some of their time to this issue. And the requirement now is 10% of their time or one day, or 10% of lawyers, if you will, in corporations or law firms or government practices, or one full day to helping fill discussion around the pipeline issue and to educate folks on what the legal profession is and how to bridge that gap or how to become interested and then build a pathway as a career, particularly with respect to those who may be in college wanting to go to law school or even further down the line, grade school, high school, et cetera. We have also the rules of the game report, the measures of success, and the industrial strength, diversity and inclusion initiative. So all of those provide a collaborative, if you will, or the collaborative works of all of the academic intelligence and the lawyers and in private practice and corporations and other statisticians who have contributed to this project and to helping us define the not only the scope but the set the tone and define at least the areas for discussion is how I'll refer to that.
This is excellent, and I think so well-rounded, you know, really being able to take such a comprehensive view of not just the legal profession where it is today, but looking beyond it, looking into the pipeline, looking into our colleges and high schools and being able to essentially create space and create a new crop of diverse lawyers. So I think that that is such a very well done, very well done. Now, Floyd, earlier you had mentioned that one of the things that you do is, while there's other organizations like, you know, that are out there working on inclusion, working on diversity, you work in a very collaborative way and really utilize data. Can you elaborate a little bit more about how IILP is seeking to bridge the gap and utilize data as a measure of being able to create real change now?
So one thing, Anne, that we've realized is that so organizations like the American Bar Association, for example, have stated commitments to diversity and inclusion through Goal 9 and a number of other initiatives. Well, this sort of elevates that process and all of the other work that's being done out there to a different kind of level. So we're focusing on research because as we have found out in business and certainly know in our effort at the ILP that the data really does tell a story. And the data helps us understand and quantify and qualify the issue, but more importantly, to measure the progress. And so while we can refer back to lots of historical data around measures, and we can look at numbers, and we can survey as much as we want to or can, really that alone doesn't help us get to the core issue. And so the extensive research that Sandra has undertaken with a number of other academics and statisticians who understand what we're trying to accomplish by building bridges has been tremendously helpful because that's really allowed us to identify a different set of issues and opportunities that come with those issues that help us do what I'll call the second step, which is go out and educate the public, and particularly with a focus on those who are in our profession. So the lawyers who have an interest in understanding some of these challenges, and we do that through a number of initiatives, which would be the third leg of that stool, if you will. We host symposia around the country where we invite lawyers, law students from various areas in the practice to come together to understand the reports and the data that's produced, and then to have constructive dialogue around there. But it's not just dialogue. It's really an opportunity to identify issues and challenges, understand perspectives around those issues and challenges, and then roll up your sleeves and decide how you individually can contribute to the solutions that evolve from all of those discussions. And so the collaboration piece is really big here, making sure that folks who come to the symposium, folks who participate in the ILP, understand that it's a shared responsibility. So we all have to be willing to stand up and be heard on the issue. We have to be willing to push back when things just don't seem right or feel right or fit from our perspective, and more importantly, to share the perspective around these issues that help clarify points that are being made, that help tie those points together so that we're all seeking and operating from a common understanding of what these challenges are, and then we're working together to help build the bridges that connect all of these pieces together.
Indeed, it really is a shared responsibility. And I have to say that oftentimes when we talk about diversity and inclusion, by having such a research-driven, data-driven approach, you really there's no way to argue with the numbers. You know, it becomes much more than just maybe a personal, emotional story or a personal experience. It really becomes something that that no one can argue with, which leads me to my next question, and that's, what has been the legal profession's response to the work that IILP has been doing?
So, and that's an interesting question because I'll start with the comment that it's different. And I think that really has been the perception of many lawyers. So that this model is so different from what is out there and what many lawyers have experienced or encountered that I think, quite candidly, there's been some difficulty in envisioning how it can work effectively and address the legal profession's diversity challenges. And so after 5 years or so, those who have been following the work of ILP and looking at the initiatives that we have undertaken, the research, the data, the studies, the collaboration, have really understood and embraced this notion with some degree of appreciation that the data-driven approach does promote education about diversity and inclusion issues and their challenges across traditional lines of difference. And so emphasizing this kind of model has the net effect of bringing new voices to the table as well as new perspectives and a more expansive vision based on an inclusion model versus just a diversity model. And that really hits the nail squarely on the head from our perspective because we really are about inclusion. And as I'll comment on later, it really underscores the principle that if I have kind of me in a room talking about a problem and my thoughts about the solution, that I'm likely, I think, to get a good answer but I'm probably not going to get the best answer. If I have nine others in the room with me who are markedly distinct in how they think, how they approach, how they address challenges, then collectively we are in the best position to collaborate to get results that reach the top of the charts. And so that's what this effort really is all about.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. And so what are the results that we're seeing?
So I'll provide two examples. At one of our symposia, we're able to have a wonderfully engaging lawyer who is deaf speak about his experience as a lawyer who can't hear. And he was so compelling a speaker with such a remarkable story that he related so well that the approximately 100-plus lawyers who attended the session likely would be an understatement, but probably won't walk away without having a completely reformed sense of their views or appreciation around this issue. I have to tell you, this gentleman really stole the moment when he very powerfully communicated in a way that I think helped a lot of people in the room appreciate the fundamental difference and the challenges that he operated under in his practice, and the value of really focusing on how diversity and inclusion does make a difference and how we can all contribute in ways that really add tremendous value to the process. So at a program, and this will be my second example, at a program in Dallas, we had a similar experience. And this was in the fall of 2013, and where discussion ensued about why a local effort to collect and report diversity statistics from a large law firm in that area didn't include statistics about lawyers who are openly LGBT. The discussion alone was eye-opening, I think, for a number of folks, and though we take no credit for this in the ILP, the following year, when the data was gathered and the report was prepared, the local group did include LGBT data. So it's proof, positive, that when you're in a room and you have the direct and immediate experience and the issues are addressed candidly and with deference and respect to those who choose to push back, it really does create a sense of awakening among lawyers who most of whom I think generally understand these issues, but it's that I get it moment. I get it why this is mm-hmm. important, and it propels people to that position of really doing things differently, or at least thinking about how to do things differently going forward. And that would be a great example of how things were done differently moving forward.
Wow, that is such a – both of the stories that you just shared are really compelling and demonstrate the effectiveness of the work that IILP is doing. And, you know, I truly, truly commend all of you for the work that you're doing. Let me take a moment to just remind our listeners that now is the time. If you have a question directly for Floyd, now is the time to call in. Please call 347-838-8719 and press 1 to get in the line. That's 347-838-8719 and press 1 to get in the line. And while we're waiting for to see if anyone calls in, Floyd, I'm just going to continue with our interview. So
okay.
Tell me a little bit about why companies like yours have chosen to get involved with IILP.
And I'll answer that making 3 points. And the first would be that I've been with State Farm now for almost 27 years. And it has been an extraordinary career and an extraordinary opportunity for me for many reasons. But let me highlight one of those reasons. So this is a company that, when I started in the law department early on, manifested a tremendous commitment to notions of diversity and inclusion, which weren't known by the same terms back then, but really thought it was important to be reflective and representative of our customer base and to really drive home the notion or issue that diversity of thought and perspective is something that makes us better at what we do. And so it was an easy connect, I believe, for our senior leadership when they looked at the IALP to understand, because we, of course, our world is embedded in data and just understanding how all the pieces fit together. But it was an easy connect to look at the work that the IALP is doing and to understand that it does parallel or run corollary to what State Farm represents and what we do in terms of our commitment and notion, around the notion rather, of diversity and inclusion. Diversity of thought and perspective is really the pivot for some of our organizational success. And we believe that the more people we have at the table sharing their perspective, the better we can be as an organization and in serving our customers. And I think that really is reflected in the work that the IALP does. And so that alignment alone, I think, was an important consideration for some of our leaders. Secondly, the IALP is an organization that has a long tail and long history. And we have been a proponent in our company for so long as many other companies have been in the work that the ABA has done and continues to do. But as I mentioned earlier, the extraordinary leadership of people like Sandra Amate, and in this case, Sandra Amate, in helping continue this important dialogue and moving it forward and bringing people together in a very non-threatening way and in a way that promotes healthy discussion, healthy debate as well, and just a sense for commitment around these issues and moving the ball forward is one that is second to none. And then thirdly, the leaders who I will refer to kindly as the network behind her. There are so many people who have a strong interest in doing the only thing, and I won't use the phrase doing the right thing, because the right thing is about people and getting your people involved to help find solutions and to make a difference. And so that's the only thing that really drives home the success, I think, of any great organization. And so when you look at the number of academic institutions, the number of corporations, the number of private law firms, government lawyers, and just people to this effort, you begin to get a sense of the community of strength that's built around this. And so the one that really lends itself to building in perpetuity is how I'll refer to it along these lines, and helping really bridge the gap for those who traditionally have not been able to make it across that aisle.
Wow. This is unbelievable. And, you know, before we run out of time, Floyd, if you could just share with us, what is IILP's ultimate vision?
The ultimate vision is really to be a part of a legal profession that is truly comprised of the best and the brightest, not just the best and the brightest of some groups within our population. It's also to be a profession that mirrors the justice and fairness that we pursue on behalf of our clients. And then thirdly, to be a profession where anyone with the intellectual curiosity and ability, the talent, the drive, and commitment can access, enter, and rise with it into its highest levels.
Wow. Let me tell you, I commend you. I commend all of the work that you do. And listeners, there you have it. Here is an organization that is walking the talk of diversity and, more importantly, of inclusion. You know, it's truly by truly being respectful and creating a non-threatening environment where there can be true dialogue and difference of opinions, and so that everyone can grow and stretch together. I really commend you. And Floyd, thank you so much for taking the time out to be here today.
And thank you, Anne, for the opportunity.
Floyd, please tell our listeners if there's any way that they can get involved with IILP.
Sign up. Go to the IILP.com website. Reach out, volunteer your time, get involved in your community, talk to people like me. My contact information, I believe, is available through the IILP website as well. Reach out to Sandra Amate. There are many of us who are willing to volunteer our time to sit down and have discussions with you about things that can be done at the ground level. It's a national effort, but it takes place locally. So anything that you can do in your local communities to add to the value of our strength, if you will, going forward, helps. And so reach out to us through the website, through email, and we can go from there.
Indeed. I highly encourage you to reach out to IILP and also share your thoughts on social media. What are your thoughts on diversity and inclusion, listeners? Just feel free to share it and make sure to include us in the loop by tagging us on our social media links. Well, Floyd, thank you so much. And listeners, next episode we'll be speaking with David Ford, who's going to talk to us about utilizing real estate investment trusts or REITs. Thank you, everyone. Till next week, be well.